You don't know if you like me when we meet. I'm strange. Attractive. Charismatic. But strange. You can't get a clear sense of me. It's possible that what I show of you is entirely genuine, but it also feels possible that it's all a veneer, a surface coating designed to make me seem safe, palatable. But just under the surface, there might be someone much more dangerous, much less caring than the impression I present of myself. You want me to like you, obviously, for a certain type of girl, which you clearly are one. That uncertainty makes me more compelling. Flame-like, even. You have this checklist you use with new partners. A spreadsheet you made yourself with a big list of kinky stuff on it. You made sure to give it to potential subs when you did that sort of thing. And then once you realized that wasn't really the same thing at all, someone suggested that you should fill it out yourself. Fair's fair, you suppose. I'm interested in what isn't on the list. You've only included things you like, which makes sense for the purpose for which you've made it, but all considered, doesn't make as much sense as information for a potential dom. So I add several things. Every one of them makes you feel a little haunted. You know I'm a sadist, or rather I told you very clearly that I'm a sadist. But you don't think you believe me, really, until you see what I do to your list. Some of the things I add. Caning. Genital torture heavy, needles, staples, cunt kicking. This goes next to genital torture, sensation play, easing, spanking, which I rename genital torture light. Jennings gags. You don't know what this is, but assuming it's just another kind of gag, you say yes, of course. When I realize you've agreed to it without knowing to what, my amusement is palpable. Electricity, static. Electricity, stimulation. Waterboarding. All of those things will come into play at some point, but it's the first and last that stick out most clearly in your mind. Surprisingly, the waterboarding is the lesser of the two for you. You wouldn't have predicted that. It is literally torture. When I introduce it, I tell you that it will be awful, and that you will hate it, and that very quickly afterwards you will forget how awful it was, and then we will do it again. You don't know if you've forgotten, although perhaps that it looms slightly less horribly in your memory than the caning suggests that you have, or that the caning really was horrific. But we'll come to that. Before we play, I cook dinner, leaving you to explore my flat. It is intimidatingly impressive, but it also has the look of a temporary space to it, like I'm just passing through, rather than intending on staying. On my desk, on top of a pile of papers, you find an academic article about sociopathy. The authors describe a study intended to improve the methods used to determine if someone is sociopathic. They use sadism as a touchstone. You note to me that they don't acknowledge the existence of consensual sadism, and that this seems like an oversight. I agree. You don't ask me if I have this paper because I think I may be a sociopath. We begin spending some time experimenting with electricity. You have a kind of fear of it that borders on phobia. Rationally, you know that it's really very safe. Not entirely, of course, but enough. Well within the acceptable bracket of risk-aware. But I have this bug zapper thing, and each time the current flows, it makes this loud crack at the same time, and you jump, usually into its path. I, of course, find this entertaining. I alternate between zapping you and thrusting my fingers into your cunt, expressing mock surprise that you're so wet, while claiming to hate being shocked. My amusement is infectious, and in the end, even you have to agree that you must be getting something from it, as you grind yourself against me almost unconsciously. I lead you by the hand into the bathroom. I tell you to kneel down next to the bath. This moment, this brief pause of kneeling in front of me, comforts you. You feel safe at my feet. You probably shouldn't. I tilt your head back over the side of the bath and place a face cloth over your mouth and your nose. You went to a workshop about waterboarding once. They described in detail what happens when the water begins to enter your nose. How it feels like you're drowning, really drowning, but in reality you're suffocating instead. This distinction seems insignificant, so I turn on the shower and test the water pressure on my hand. That it would be a cliche to say that you are entirely unprepared when the water hits me does nothing to make it less true. It is in that moment the worst thing that has ever happened to you. The water doesn't go inside you, not really. It really is incredibly hard to explain. It consumes you, envelops you. You could lift your head to stop it. You don't. You can't say why, other than that I put you here. Beyond the rush of the shower, you hear me laugh. It is somewhere between less than a minute and eternity before I turn off the water. I remove the cloth and grin down at you, evidently amused by your spluttering. There, I say. Was it that awful? I laugh when you nod miserably. Well, then you've learnt something, haven't you? I say. It would be polite to say thank you for being given such a powerful new experience, wouldn't it? Smug bastard that I am. You murmur, thank you, and I laugh at you again. You are grateful, though. It's rare to be taken to the edge like that, in the way that I do. You love me a little for that. I lead you to the bedroom, drying off your hair. You're desperate for me now. The combination, the juxtaposition between cruelty and kindness is everything for you. You stare at me in mute yearning. You don't even really know what you want to ask for. Please let me taste you. Please use me for your pleasure. You haven't even seen my cock at this point. I don't make you find the words. Another mercy for which you're genuinely grateful. I undress, leaving you kneeling on the floor to wait. My cock is beautiful. You lick your lips unconsciously, and I chuckle a little. I'm going to let you give me a blowjob, I tell you. I don't usually find it that interesting to let some missus do things themselves. But I'll let you try. You silently resolve that this will be the best blowjob you've ever given in your life. If it isn't any good, I'll have to take over. Do you understand? You nod and lean forward in hopeful anticipation. I'm firm and smooth and a little salty in your mouth. You hum in contentment, and my responding a vibration makes your nerves tingle at pleasing me. You lick and suck and slide my head down into the back of your throat. You use the saliva this brings up as lube to allow you to increase your pace. Your tongue pointed and hard, pressed against the veins, add to the sensations. I let you continue for just long enough that my disappointed no stop is a shock, even though, of course, it shouldn't be. Curling my fingers through your hair, I push my cock deep into your throat. As you gag and splatter, you hear me murmur, better. And joy at being useful to me overtakes your previous sense of failure. Of course it's better if I'm in control of it. Of course I know how best to please myself. That I'm using you to do it is your privilege. When I let go of your hair and withdraw from your mouth, you're bereft. I gesture for you to climb onto the bed, and when you do, you see me taking a cane from the dresser. And now, you're afraid. What little you've had to do with canes has already made you hate them, and the small indication you've had of my sadism so far means that you know this will be far worse than anything you've experienced before. I tell you to lie on your front and separate your legs. I stroke the tip of the cane along the crease between your arse and your legs, then up the inside of your thighs. You flinch, and you feel ashamed when I laugh. You've chosen to be here, you remind yourself. At this moment, you cannot, for the life of you, remember why. I hold up my phone to take a picture that later on I will send to you, labeled, before. The first few blows are sharp and make you gasp, but not so awful you can't bear them. You breathe. It's okay, you tell yourself. You can take this. You can't. But by the time that is obvious, only a few strokes further on, you're incapable of thinking anyway. The cane is thin and long. It's very flexible, made of some kind of black polymer. When I rest it by your head, while I talk to you later, you'll see that it's stained with a little of your blood. I vary the speed and intensity with which I hit you, sometimes raining several blows so quickly you can't distinguish them. When I do this, you lose all semblance of self-control. You actually scream and curl yourself tightly into a ball, a futile attempt at self-defense. You're sobbing uncontrollably throughout. There's no time for you anymore, but eventually I stop and sit next to you. I brush the hair from your face and gently pet you. Oh, you're being such a good girl for me, I say. You love me now. And I'm really beginning to enjoy myself. I know it's horrible for you, isn't it? You move your head in a small nod. Well, I don't want it to be too much for you. Not really. So perhaps we should stop now. Would you like me to stop? Overwhelmed by everything that has happened, you're confused by this gentleness. You nod yes. I am really just beginning to have a good time, to enjoy myself hurting you. But we mustn't take you beyond being able to cope, must we? You don't answer. You do want me to enjoy myself, though, don't you? You nod emphatically. You know what I'm doing, of course. Even you can see that. But you're entirely powerless to stop me from manipulating you. You seem much calmer now. Do you really need me to stop? It really is just beginning to be pleasurable for me now. You shake your head miserably. So, should I continue? I say, a note of what is really fake, but entirely genuine sounding surprise in my voice. Against all your instincts, you nod. Oh, but I don't want to force you, I say. I'm not a monster after all, no matter how much I'm enjoying hurting you. I pause and seem to reflect on that for a moment, and then put my face right next to yours and whisper, I won't do it unless you ask me to. Tell me you want me to continue. Beg me to hurt you more, and I will. You hate me, and you begin to beg. I laugh quietly, and without listening to your words, stand up and pick up the cane. You can't tell me what happens next, or rather words can't really describe it. You pass in and out of consciousness, and eventually you come to find I've stopped beating you, and I've turned you over. The pain of the bedsheets against the raw cuts is a sharp sting, countered by the warmth and pressure of my naked body lying on top of yours. I'm going to fuck you now, I tell you. You nod in acknowledgement rather than consent, though you do consent. You need to feel my love and approval more than anything right now. My cock feels like both when it slides into your aching cunt. It was thought to be a moment of relief from pain or pleasure or reward. Being fucked by me is something you've craved for so long. But with each thrust, I slam hard into your cervix and it hurts deep inside you. You don't know how to process this. No one has fucked you like this before. There's still pleasure as I slide my cock outwards, pressing against all your sensitive nerve endings, but each inward stroke ends with this shock of pain. I'm watching you closely, clearly doing it on purpose. And you realize that this is what I will always offer you. There will never be pleasure for its own sake. It will always be mixed, confused with pain like this. You hold on to me tightly, and you're grateful even as you feel your cervix bruising. My pace increases, and as you feel me tense, preparing to come, I spit violently into your face. It does feel like a reward, of sorts.